You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Go Plug Yourself. We've been talking to awesome people in Montreal since 2011. Just a friendly reminder that if you're going to be buying anything on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, go to 9to5.cc first and click the links at the bottom or in the sidebar so that we get a bit of that money. Also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and enjoy the show.
Go plug yourself. You plug and mother plugger. Go plug yourself.
Keith always waits till I say something stupid and then it starts recording.
That's how we start the episode.
And then it starts recording. Yeah, and you started, didn't you?
Of course.
I hate you.
We should have done this. Just keep an eye on this button to see if it lights up red. If it lights up red, you've muted yourself. I'll try to keep an eye on
this. Yeah, this is a little controly panel thing here.
Okay, well, I don't think I'll touch it.
Yeah.
There you go. This is Go Plug Yourself, episode... What is this?
59.
27? 28?
No, I don't know.
I think it's episode 28.
It's...
And this is almost... strange that it took 28 episodes to get to this point.
Yes, because I have a terrible habit of shoehorning every interview, every conversation into a conversation about professional wrestling.
As much as possible. Someone's like, I grew up in Alberta.
I don't always do it on purpose.
And they're like, do you know Stu Hart? Yeah,
exactly, that's how it'll go. It's like, yeah, I come from out west. And I'm like, oh, like the Hart family. And it's like, what? No, yeah,
no,
okay.
Isn't. So you grew up in the 90s. Did you watch... Saturday morning wrestling? No.
So this and this episode is maybe the only appropriate time to do this kind of thing because our guest today is Keith.
The Green Phantom.
The Green Phantom himself.
Local.
Josephus Morris.
How you guys doing?
Local
doing?
Legend
thank you,
of
thank
wrestling.
You for joining us today. This
is and as... I think we should not talk about wrestling whatsoever.
Mm, no.
And the fact that we always talk about wrestling.
Not a bit. Not a bit.
That's fine. I got plenty of other things to say. For me.
So, if you haven't had the pleasure of watching Green Phantom, you're a independent wrestler, or you're associated
wrestler, yeah.
with. I've seen you wrestle for at least two different companies, right?
So I wrestle wherever they pay me, really.
Okay, that's fair.
And you know, so it is the indie scene, if you will. I used to travel a lot more to like the States, Ireland, stuff like that. But
did you say Ireland?
Yeah,
really.
But these days, I'm actually, you know, Sheamus.
Yeah.
You watch WWE?
Yeah.
I did a tour with him out there.
Really?
I wrestled him a few times.
At no point during this conversation will you have to say to Keith and I, like, do you know this? Because the chances are we'll probably be getting the reference you're making. Okay.
But these days it seems it's more Quebec, Ontario. A little bit in the States, but not much these days.
Is it a much bigger deal in Quebec than other parts of the country?
Because
it seems like it might be.
Bigger deal in a different way. It's like there's a lot of little... companies around, if you can call them that. Some of it's a stretch.
Yeah.
But there seems to be a big participation level here in Quebec.
Yeah.
Whereas in other places, it's more of a audience thing. It's like, because there's such a big participation level here in Quebec, I don't get paid as much as I do when I go to, let's say, Ontario or to the States, something like that.
And now, is that a result of just, like, the market being saturated here? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's the huge participation.
What do you mean by that exactly, participation
factor? It seems like in Quebec, if there's 50 people who are going to come see the show, 10 in the next week are going to become part of the show. You know? So it.
Well, that fucks up my plans. That being said, to possibly how do I join the show?
Yeah, this is the only reason we're doing this. Keith and I wanted.
But you got to know that it hurts the business too because back in the day there was a policing factor in a way like this old school way where if you weren't suitable to be in the wrestling business you would find out real quick by someone like kicking your ass in the ring for real, you know,
someone getting real stiff in the ring or something.
Yeah, these days if someone wants to get in the wrestling business they just have to rent a ring and then call it a wrestling show, you know. They don't need licenses or anything like that, you know. They just have to.
There's no athletic commission involved or anything.
No. I mean sometimes I'm not one for laws or rules, but sometimes it'd be better for the business if there was some sort of control like that because some really shoddy product gets out there.
Yeah.
What I refer to as church basement wrestling. There's
right.
There's a shitload of that. And, you know, I hate when I talk to someone in Montreal and they're like, oh, yeah, I know a guy who wrestles. I'm like, yeah, okay, do you? and then half the time I never heard of them, so I know they're on a, like, in a church basement somewhere. And then the other half of the time I have heard of them, and I hate that if you're going to call me a wrestler, you can't call that guy a wrestler because we do totally different things. I'm a pro. I'm awesome. I'm really good at what I do. That guy's a schmuck, you know. So it kind of hurts the business in that sense, but, you know.
Do you think that was sort of like a byproduct of the, like, the backyard wrestling YouTube?
It
just
is.
Sort of like, as soon as I made a video and I put it up, I'm pro.
Yeah,
and you're
exactly.
Like, that's
and,
bullshit.
And
no,
because
not.
You just need some money to get a ring. You know, you get
a couple
a ring,
neon
you,
tubes.
Whatever. You know, you spend a few grand, you get an old washed up guy, like, I don't know, like a Coco Beware or a Roddy Piper or something.
Yeah.
Pay him a few grand and you have a ring. Hey, there we go. There's our show. So
yeah.
you book yourself, even though you're a schmuck, or you might not think you are, but you are, and you book yourself in this match, and it's, you know,
you're
it's
like,
kind
I had
of
a
joke,
match with Abdullah
joke.
The Butcher.
And then there's tons of people, well, tons, there's people that come watch this, and then they see, oh, that's what independent wrestling is. And I hate that, because most of these shows are so terrible that when I come around saying, yeah, you should check out my thing, they're like, well, I saw it already. Like, well, you didn't actually. You saw a church basement schmuck show. You know, you didn't see what I actually do, which is unfortunate.
Actually, I think the last show I saw you at, I think that was the one that they brought in Roddy Piper for at the
Pierre Charbonneau
yeah,
Arena.
Yeah, the Pierre Charbonneau Arena.
I
checked that show out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and Abdul the Butcher, who Keith was just joking about.
Yeah.
So
they
barely walked that guy. But.
Well, yeah. Well, they're the guys who are just like they're still making a living, right, and doing whatever. But it's not. They're not. I'm sure if you can sign their checks, they're going to show up to whatever, you know? Like,
well, I don't want to include some of these old guys, like a guy like Piper. I still think he's awesome. And,
yeah.
You know, he it was a decent, how would I say, venue. And
it was,
and
actually.
It was
yeah.
very nice.
Yeah.
It was like, it was built, it was the look of it was for TV. There wasn't as many people as they wanted, but still, it was overall, the look of it was very professional.
Yeah,
it was a cage match.
And most of the wrestlers involved in the show were mostly top notch, so that's okay. You know?
Yeah,
those aren't really the indie shows I was referring to.
Yeah, it's, no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's stuff you never heard of.
But
before,
even like my first introduction to you, the first few times I saw you was I grew up in the East End, and someone put me onto the IWS stuff, and I saw you at Bogey's a few times off the highway.
Yeah,
but even that was pretty cool because I mean, like, that had a pretty good setup, you know, and it was a pretty big space back there in the back of Bogey's.
And but it also it was the company the IWS at the time was the premier indie fed in maybe in Canada. We were definitely.
Was it really?
Yeah, we were the only fed on pay-per-view at that time. We've already had a few pay-per-views at the time, selling DVDs all over the world.
Yeah,
and
brought in some pretty big names too.
Yeah, and we exported talent that is living strong today.
Well,
and they were if you were a wrestler in Quebec, you wanted so bad to wrestle for the IWS. You know,
okay,
only the best were there.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, the fruits of our labor, you know, guys like El Generico, who just got signed WWE.
That's what I was telling Keith on the way here. So is that true? Is that an official thing that happened?
Well, I can't really confirm or deny.
Okay, but that's also
I'll
something.
I'll tell you right now, he's going to be in WWE in a matter of weeks. He'll be there.
That's great.
You know, it's amazing. And another IWS product, this guy Kevin Steen.
I know Kevin. Kevin Steen.
He's
ROH. He was an IWS. Like that's where he started with IWS.
Well, he started with Rougeau.
Okay.
Until he was about 16.
Okay.
And Rougeau had him wrestling as Le Kid.
Did you say up until he was 16, meaning that he started well before he was 16?
Yeah, he was wrestling. This guy eats and breathes wrestling. Like
he was Le Kid.
I tell you, and Kevin, if you're listening, you know this. If you went to the gym once in your life, you'd be in the WWE right now. But because this guy, he eats and breathes this stuff. Him and Generico are on another level of wrestling. The most intricate details to attention detail and skill of performing, they're just incredible. I can't wish them well enough, and I hope WWE can use the talent that is El Generico. Who knows what gimmick they'll use or whatever. I don't know.
Right, it's going to be interesting where they take that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
When did you first step into the ring?
In 1999.
Okay.
So hey, I was...
How old are you guys?
I'm 26.
I'm 29.
Okay, so you might not remember this old... well, there used to be the Peel Pub and the Peel Pub Show Bar. Once when the Peel Pub was actually on St. Laurent Street, and the Peel Pub Show Bar was in the back, and then for a while it was a place called Wally's Pub, And that's where we first started doing shows. We tied ropes to the pillars. It was an underground place.
Wow!
And put the gym mats down. We had our first few shows there. It was pretty intense.
And I don't, if you don't want to age yourself, how old were you when you first stepped into the ring? I don't know if you don't want to admit.
No, I'm 36 now. So
mostly can't do math. So
yeah, exactly.
Me neither. I'm 36 now. So that was 99. So it's 2012.
Like
13 years. Yeah, about 23.
So were you when you grew up? Were you?
I loved wrestling.
Watching
as a kid, I was a huge Hulkamaniac. I loved Bret Hart. I loved Demolition. I loved all the faces, but I never. I played football and I played other sports, but I never thought it was an option to be a professional wrestler.
Put on a mask and get into the ring.
It's like I knew what I could do to. Let's say go to the CFL or NFL or something like that.
Yeah.
But it didn't even enter my mind that I could actually become a professional wrestler. I never saw any leagues or anything like that. We never even had wrestling in our schools and stuff. But I heard her ad in the radio, so you might want to ask this question how I got into it. What I'll say.
No, please.
I heard this ad on the radio for it was actually Mike Patterson screaming.
Sounds
watch,
right.
Watch some hardcore fucking wrestling. Wally's Pub. PCP Crazy Fucking Manny. And I'm like, what? PCP Crazy Fucking Manny?
Yeah.
I used to do drugs with a guy named PCP Crazy Manny. And one, it's like, how could it be this guy?
But you're like, he's
but
still
then at
alive?
The same time, well, who else has a name like that?
Was it the same one?
Guy. So yeah, I go to the show. It's having a Halloween show. So my girlfriend at the time brought me back a wrestling mask. She went to visit Calgary.
Okay.
And she brought me back a wrestling mask just like that. At the time, I really wasn't even watching wrestling that much. I started to get back into it with NWO.
Right.
And yeah. ECW. The,
sure.
The, you know, the Paul Heyman ECW.
Say like 96, 97. Yeah.
So I started watching it again, and it got me excited. But still, it wasn't the option to do it. Anyway, so I hear this radio ad. It's a Halloween show. Get this mask. Go down. Watch it. I'm in the front row. I'm loving it. I'm like, you know, this is amazing. The only, it was like, but I thought like Remington, I liked it so much, I wanted to buy the company, you know, the Remington Blades. And so, and it was my buddy, PCP Crazy Manny. So I talked to him after, I said, this show's amazing, but I want to do it because I know I can do it better. And he like hooked me up with a trainer guy, this guy named TNT. He trained me for a few months, a few times a week, go to this gym and take bumps and learn holds and stuff like that. And then like the two shows after that, I was just coming to watch and like help with the ring and stuff, and somebody canceled and they're like, hey, we need somebody, go. I'm like, okay, fine. I hardly remember anything of that moment. I know I was nervous as shit, but you know, the rest is history, I guess.
Yeah. And then well, I don't know if Keith knows this, but then PCP Manny ended up, did he not end up running IWS or
well,
managing
that company? What at the time that was
the origin.
WWS. That was the origin.
Okay.
At the time, that was Manny's company, so he was there. You know, and if you want to ask how to get the Green Phantom, well, it's kind of all like connected because I went there.
Justin's doing our job for us.
We're just sitting here.
Let's just
tell the stories.
It's all connected because I told you that mask my girlfriend at the time bought me, right? It just happened to be a green mask.
Okay.
And it was Halloween, so I was wearing it, and I was quite a, how would you say, rambunctious fan being in the front row.
And you're like if you're not familiar with the Green Phantom, like, what, you're 6'5"?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
So,
yeah.
Like,
so you're a big dude, so if there's like a big rowdy guy in a mask, I'd be like, oh,
yeah, so
shit.
A lot of people, and rightfully, logically so, thought I was a plant, like thought I was going to actually get involved in this show, right? And I think actually a couple of wrestlers were wary, they were scared that I actually might. You know, but I didn't, of course. And but the thing is, the next night, this was a Friday night. The next night, there used to be a radio show on CMFB or something. I forget what the, and it was like 1600 AM or something. I don't know. But it was wrestling radio show.
I remember that show. I know what show you're
and
talking
they,
about.
And they talked about that show, and one of the announcers talks about how, oh, did you see that guy in the front row in the green mask? What's his deal? Is he something to watch out in the future of WWS? And this is just like randomly.
You started
know?
Your own buzz. That's great.
So then, of course, I say this very sarcastically. I'm not a shit disturber at all. I call in and because they wanted to know
who got a promo.
They wanted to know who is this guy? Who is this guy? So I'm like, oh, I guess I better tell him. So I call in. And I'm like, oh yeah, and just not as a character or anything, just as me. Yeah, this guy's crazy. He's gonna kick your ass. He's nuts, man. And then they're like, well, what's his name? And I didn't at that moment. I'm like, Green Phantom. Whatever. I just said whatever stupidity came out of my mouth because it was a green mask, and that's it. The rest is history.
That's awesome.
I just kind of barfed it out. It's like verbal verbal diarrhea. And it at first I was glad to be covered up because I was so nervous wrestling. But then after a while, I was kind of annoyed at the name because it's kind of hokey, you know, if you don't know it. Like I remember going down to the States once, and the announcer said it perfectly. As this is later watching on like the DVD, watching it, and he's like, "Oh, Green Phantom's coming to the ring. 1985 called. It wants its gimmick back." So I knew that there's something to the effect of Green Phantom kind of being a little hokey, but after a while, I really embraced it with. It's really become part of me. I mean, if the green aspect, it can be as retarded as my environmental policy. It can be as different as how I vote. It could be my family's huge into the Irish culture. My last name is Fitzmaurice.
There you go.
And we're like crazy big on that, like St. Patrick's Day, you know, all kinds of traditions like that, you know. So there's a lot of things.
All encompassing.
There's a lot of things that work out. Even the rugby team I play for. It's the Montreal Irish, and their slogan's "Go Green."
There you go.
It just happened before that. Mine was "Get with the Green."
It was meant to be.
It really was. Yeah. You know? So it's one of those things that I didn't care about. I hated, and now I've embraced it, and it's worked out. Sold a shitload of t-shirts. And,
yeah, I was going to say, I was like, there's like, especially there seems to be like a bit of a like. A trend right now in pro wrestling, like sort of like a throwback.
A little bit. I'm a bit of a throwback.
So and it's just sort of like, and if you're, I mean, like a senior wrestler and whatever else like that, like you're good in the ring and all that stuff. So it's like, okay, if your gimmick is a throwback, but you're not shitting on it, you know, like you're owning it, and you're good in the ring. It's like, who the fuck cares if there's like if it's a little like a little 80s, a little retro.
Yeah, that's it. I don't mind it, and especially if someone's actually come to see it. Or seeing me cut a promo on, you know, or something like that, they'll see right away that the hokiness, it's not hokey at all, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's I mean, I embrace the good elements of the 80s, I guess. I mean, even in my speech, I say brother all the time. I guess it's because I grew up listening to Hulk Hogan.
Kind of hard not to at that point.
Yeah,
yeah. You know. Have you ever wrestled without the mask?
I did actually. I was wrestled for in East End. There was a federation called the FLQ, Fédération Lutte Québec, and
in the East End, naturally.
As an English speaking champion out there,
I was super
hated. But I wanted to wrestle without a mask just to see how it was and do that because at the time I went to get a tryout with WWE. They flew me out to Kentucky and stuff. And,
oh shit.
So I wanted to wrestle without a mask, you know, but unfortunately it was the wrong time for me. But yeah, I did wrestle without a mask. I kind of like it, you know, but now I'm just kind of stuck with that gimmick and that's it.
Has it been the mask you use now? Like, do you have like a Batman closet? Do you have like a dozen masks?
Yeah. There's a ton of masks. Like,
and they're all identical?
No, I've evolved over the years.
But they're all green.
No, I have a bad guy mask which is black with like some green highlights in it.
Okay.
But I was gonna say, have you ever had like a heel turn or like a full?
Yeah,
like,
I've had a few bad times when I was playing a bad man, and so a black mask works right. Well for that. And the rest, usually the theme is green and gold in some capacity with maybe some camouflage, some
right.
Gold barbed wire. That's usually the theme of it.
So we're like camo tights, right, or camo pants? Or?
I used to.
Yeah,
I think I've
seen you with the.
In most of my violent death matches, I was almost always wearing green camo pants. In the beginning, it was just a green jumpsuit, and then it evolved to just camo pants. Then I got real wrestling boots, and over time I graduated to wrestling tights because I thought that it looks more professional. you get looked at differently. You know, I don't wear the bikini tights or the briefs. I wear like pants. You know?
Okay. I've had a long, like as a fan, I've noticed that for some strange reason, a lot of Canadian wrestlers wear pants. Like, if you think, like, Storm wore pants, Edge and Christian both wore pants, Jericho originally wore pants, Benoit wore pants, like...
Did you say Storm? Like, Lance Storm?
Yeah.
Okay, but tights, though. Tights.
Yeah, tights. Like, not the bikini style. Okay. I mean, like tights.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, not baggy,
but, like full-length.
Yeah, like full-length
tights.
What
point Keith is making with this? I'm not sure.
No, I was just saying, it was just, like, a weird thing that a lot of Canadian guys wore pants.
True. When I think about it, even...
No one did besides Keith. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
All the big guys.
Yeah, exactly. Jericho.
I never thought about it.
Yeah, it's really strange.
Pasty Canadian legs. That's it.
Even just British Bulldogs?
Yeah. No.
Bulldog wore briefs.
But he wore the shorts. He didn't wear the bikini things. He wore shorts.
At the end, he wore shorts. But when they were tag
I think they started when he wore pants.
They were pants. So I have the figures. Trust me.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm not going to argue.
I think they might go up a little bit above the boot or something. The Bulldogs, I never remember being as full pants. That might just be my...
when they were champs, like for their run, when they were together as the British Bulldogs, they were pants all the time.
Now, while we're on the topic of...
I never thought about that. That's really interesting. I never thought about that.
Yeah, it was
I wonder why that is.
Is it colder?
The only guys, you know who didn't? Is the Rougeaus.
The Rougeaus didn't wear pants. The Rougeaus wore the tiniest bikini.
But then when they split up and he became the Mountie, he wore pants.
Yeah, well...
But that's it. I remember this like when I was. I think when I was at my biggest fandom was when I was a teenager, so probably like late 90s or whatever. And like I remember even like saying it as a thing, being like, "Yeah, Canadians wear pants." Like,
weird. But that's so odd.
It's really, really strange.
While we're on the topic of
thank you for that
revealing leg wear or the lack thereof. That I think did I once see? And correct me if I'm wrong here. Did I once see you team with Triple X Sexy Eddie against the Hardcore Ninjas and Bogeys in a no ring ropes barbed wire match?
Yeah, I think you did, yes.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was...
It was all right. Doing it didn't feel so smooth.
I can't imagine that it would.
I thought the energy of that match was a little weird, but after watching it on tape, it was like, that was pretty good. It was pretty sick. There was some hardcore-ass shit there.
Yeah,
and I've never seen anywhere.
Like. And I remember the anticipation for that one was especially built up because it took forever for them to take down like half of the ring ropes.
Yeah. Well, it's hard.
and to put up the barbed wire.
Yeah, because it messes with the structure of the ring, right?
Right.
Because the ring ropes hold a certain tightness to the ring structure.
I can imagine.
So when you take that off, it was a technical difficulty because it's something you don't normally do, right?
Have you worked a lot with Sexy Eddie?
Yeah, actually, I worked with him.
I think you tagged with him on that match.
Yeah, we were tag champs for a while together.
Nice.
At some point, even on Sunday at Fufun Electric. Hey, by the way, best company right now in Canada is a company called Battle War.
Battle War.
It was actually to show how good it is. El Generico's last independent match was with them on Sunday.
Very cool.
But anyways, I worked with Eddie on Sunday. Actually, ended up getting a pinfall on him. I wrestled in Ottawa. We drove up together, so I worked on the same card as him on Saturday, but not with him. And Friday as well, I worked on the same card with him, but not against him. I love traveling with that guy, Eddie. I love you. If you're listening to this, you're awesome.
Do you know Eddie? Do you know of?
I know of. I've seen. I've
the Triple X Sex Express. Yeah. Your sexual fantasy.
Yeah. No. I've been to I think two Battle War events.
Okay.
So and I think he's definitely been at one.
Probably been on at least one of them.
And he might have been on both. But yeah, the Battle War
balls.
Yeah. Oh, no, we were talking about this a little bit in the pre-interview. Phantom had his nuts crushed in.
Yeah, I meant nuts crushed.
Okay, was that discussed when I went to the bar? Okay, because I don't know what just happened.
He just pulled ice.
I thought you were just going to adjust yourself there, and I was trying not to make a big deal about it. But
no.
For the record, Phantom just pulled a bag of ice out of his pants. What happened? What's the story there? if you don't mind, just because it's more for my benefit than anything else.
I'm not actually sure. I just know that after my match on Saturday, it was against this 300-pound guy named Darko.
Ooh.
I just went back, and when I went backstage from my match, my groin hurt a bit. It didn't even feel like I got punched in the nuts. We'll see what happens, but
that's no fun at all.
But my balls now are this big black swollen sack.
Oh man!
But you know what's crazy is that I've had worse.
Yeah.
it's only the size of about a grapefruit now.
Just the size of a grapefruit. Only the size of a grapefruit.
Whereas a few years ago in a match, I remember the exact moment what happened. I did my finishing move where one of them is called a phantasm, where I flip a guy over my head and basically sit down and have him land on the mat between my legs. Anyways, this one time, I've done this move a million times. This one time, for some reason, my left nut got caught between his head and the mat.
Oh, man.
And it crushed it. And I felt like a good shot in the balls, but whatever. I kept going and finished the match. And when I went backstage, I had to pee, and I went to pee. And then I looked down, and I see this huge mass.
Oh, my God.
Beneath my, you know, this huge mass. And I freaked out a little bit.
I would imagine. No, that's not something you look at and you take with, like, calm.
Yeah,
and...
so I did like any tough man does. I called my mom.
That was your first instinct.
Yeah, well, because she was a nurse. She's okay. Retired now, but she was a nurse. So, mom, what do I do? My balls are swollen up like crazy. Because they didn't hurt more than, like, I mean, a nut shot hurts, but it didn't hurt more than that.
Than your average nut shot.
So I didn't think it was that crazy. But then I saw this balloon between my legs. I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I had to put some ice on it, and then eventually it got way bigger. Then the next day I woke up, it was like really the size of a balloon, you know, and it started to get black. So this big black balloon between
Good
my
Lord.
Legs. And so I had to go to the urologist, and they did, you know, the ultrasound test, like it was a baby.
Yeah.
In my nuts.
I've had that. I've actually had that. Yeah, not as a result of a wrestling injury.
Okay. So
well, he's got you beat, Walter.
Yeah.
The girl said I had good nuts, so
good.
Said that was fine. But
all's well that ends well, I suppose.
And it just the swelling went down after a while, but for a while I was scared, like literally. You know, like a mini soccer ball between my legs.
It was
huge, and it was black. And every one of my friends, I wanted to show them to see their reactions. Like, they almost
come here, look at this.
You want to see something fucked up?
They all bent over in pain.
Yeah,
like,
no shit. I'm shifting around in my chair right now, man.
My testicles have crawled back up inside of me just hearing this story. I'm just,
which
so
I mean,
terrified.
So right now, I think I've re-aggravated that injury because
what was the exact injury? What did they label that?
It was a crushed testicle, but.
Oh my God!
It was able to rebound, and the only lasting injury was the main vein down the middle of it, of my left testicle, is permanently swollen. So my left nut is more sensitive than your nuts.
So that's like
your sensitive nuts are.
That's,
you
know, like your Achilles testicle, for lack of a better expression.
Totally.
And you were saying that you don't really remember the bump that did the. No,
the one that happened this weekend was a smaller version of this.
Yeah,
of
exactly. I'm saying you're walking and talking, and
this one I didn't quite remember, but the first time it happened where it was really bad, I remember the exact shot. Yeah.
So do you then say, like, when it's discussed whether there's going to be like a ball shot to end a match or something like that, or in the progression of a storyline, do you say no, not happening, or
no, not really? But it's funny. With girlfriends, I don't like them to go near my balls. It's like it's like strictly shaft work.
Yeah,
like strictly shaft work. Because I just get too uneasy, because you guys have balls, and half the people who listen to me might have balls as well.
It's more than half.
So you guys know how sensitive it is. So they're just like double the sensitivity.
Oh,
so I for now on have to wear like tighter underwear and stuff, because if I walk around all day,
you just need the support.
I need the support, because they get aggravated.
This is, I think, the most we've ever talked about a guest genitalia.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, okay. And now I wanted to get to this eventually, but this is kind of a natural progression.
I'm waiting to see how.
No. It's not. It's not. I'm moving away from. I'm moving away from.
Talk about my ass.
But
now?
Your fair share of hardcore wrestling. Fair share of high stakes. Dangerous wrestling. Let's talk about, like, worse injuries. Is there any injury worse than that?
I had a question before that. I wanted to know if you started off hardcore or if it was something you built into. Then we can get
and
to
then
injuries.
We'll do more injuries.
Yeah.
Okay.
More
injuries.
If you're not familiar with Green Phantom, every match I've seen you in has at least had some slightly hardcore Matt.
Like some elements of hardcore. And it depends what your version of hardcore is, right? Some people, their version of hardcore is taking a trash can and bashing it in the head.
Yeah.
I think there's a place for that, but a whole match of that stuff is really boring. I like to throw in...
But I've seen you do some very hardcore
like the air
I like
quote
to throw in
fights?
Wrestling moves, you know, moves that look like the person's dead, you know, stuff like that. I like that type of wrestling. So in that sense, hardcore, I always want to do something that looks... That'll maybe suspend belief a little bit.
Yeah.
Sometimes that... A lot of times that involves props, you know, tables, chairs, stuff like that. I love breaking tables, you know. I've probably broken in my career. I'm like the enemy of the environment in that sense. I've probably broken a good 200-300 tables easily.
I can only imagine, like, at some point in time, I don't exactly know where someone first threw a guy through one of those press board tables and, like, felt that it, like, slows down the fall and breaks super easy but looks amazing. And they were like, this is the best. Like, whenever... The first guy through table happened. They were like, "We have fucking found something."
What does a table bump actually feel like in comparison to like a regular bump?
Well, I just love it so much that I don't even know what it feels like because I'm having
so
much
fun.
How
many do you take? Do you take them a lot? Or?
Yeah, whenever I can. I took on Friday. I took two tables. I took one with barbed wire on it, and I just took a normal table. I don't know. They break the fall, but it's a harder surface, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I've always played rough sports. I know most wrestlers that I know won't even go near the level of destruction I like to have.
Yeah.
But I honestly, most wrestlers in Quebec are huge pussies, and
I heard it here first.
I have no problem saying that. I tell them mostly to their face that you're all pussies, and that's fine with me. You know.
But I know, like, WWE probably makes their own tables, right? They probably have, like, a warehouse somewhere full of tables.
Well, I don't think they own a table company. They just buy them. Like the way whenever I have to get tables for a show, there's a place near Verdun. It's Office Furniture Emporium.
And they're made as actual,
real tables.
Regular tables.
Just folding tables.
Press board folding tables.
Yeah,
and it's just
tables.
Not gimmicked in any way.
It's just the as soon as the band bends, the table breaks, right? Like
there's usually a band on the end. Like, it could be a metal frame, could be a rubber frame. It depends, a plastic
Walter
frame.
Walter and I are going to throw each other through tables this weekend.
And depending on the bump, it could either shatter or lightly break. Sometimes it doesn't break, actually. But the first table spot I went through on Friday, the guy wasn't very good, and he didn't put me through a table properly, so I rolled off it. I didn't even break.
Oh, man. And you're like a big guy. How did you not break that table?
Well, it just shows how how they're not gimmicked, right?
Jesus.
Yeah.
And you really got to slam someone through it if you want to break it.
What I always wonder about is when you see the wrestlers so meticulously setting up those little ring things around the legs.
They move the ring supports.
Like, how important is it to set up those supports?
Well, it depends, right? It's like I've done moves where I've been standing on a table and have a guy on my shoulders and a guy lying on the table.
So then you need
the
support.
That's three people on the table, so you need some support before it's going to actually crash down.
Right.
I saw one ECW spot where one of the legs buckled,
yeah.
and then the fucking bump was really weird.
Well, it
like,
fucks up. It screws everything up.
So, like, those little rings.
I almost killed a guy on St. Laurent Street. We had an outdoor show for the Fringe Festival. And I was standing on a table. And I had the guy up over my head, and I do this move where I have him over my head. His stomach is kind of on the back of my head, so he's looking forward. And what I do is flip him over and put him between my legs and sit down, and that's the bump. It's called a phantasm. Anyways,
starts off like a. I'm trying to like visualize.
Reverse razor's
like,
edge.
Yeah, starts off like a razor's edge, and then turns kind of into a bump, right?
Yeah. A little bit, yeah.
But he's looking. He's looking the same way as me, and I flip him over and sit down, right? So his head is looking up from my crotch, basically.
Right.
So like a razor's edge into a bomb of some sort.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I go to do this thing, and as I'm making my jump to flip him over, the table leg breaks.
Oh.
So right away, I'm falling down, trying to flip this guy over, and I only got halfway, so he's coming head first.
Oh, Jesus.
And so I hit, and the last, like... You could not have a last more second than this. I pulled him a little bit more, so he kind of landed on like the back of his shoulders.
Oh my God!
But I mean, it was just lucky that I didn't land head first because I had him by the armpits, and that table goes out. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, So get back to your ring things. Sometimes you freaking need them because you could die.
Oh, yeah, no, fucking, I missed bots. Someone who was the didn't Triple H or whatever broke somebody's neck. on someone who missed the spot on a pedigree because they didn't understand it, and they thought it was going to be more like a power bomb, or whatever. So like kicked up, and then but Triple H like shoves you down. Like a pedigree is not a hard bump. Like you're just going face first into the mat, but because the guy kicked up, he like shoved him down straight first on his head.
I've seen a couple of dirty clips. I don't know the exact stories, but I've seen one where it looked like he just totally killed the guy, like landed right on his head.
It might be the one where the guy just fucked up the bump.
Well, that's looking more like a pile driver than
the guy driver right on his head.
Like
if you think of a guy who's going for a power bomb or a pile driver or a tombstone or whatever, and you're kicking up to try to get vertical, and then he suddenly just shoves you in the mat from 2 feet while you're going up, like.
Well, I took a pedigree into thumbtacks on Friday as well. Oof. And the guy.
Does the mask help at all in those cases?
A little bit. I mean, it's like
your face looks pretty all right.
Yeah, it is all right. Like, you're not a bad looking fellow for someone. Like, yeah, like, that's why I was wondering about the mask. I'm like, well,
the mask makes me look scarier.
Yeah.
Okay. The only way I can look scarier is when I grow some mean facial hair, which I do sometimes. But with thumbtacks example, they get caught in the mask, so there's a good effect there for sure. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It looks like it's right in your head. But anyways, this guy was giving me a pedigree and. He really drove me down pretty hard. Like it really hurt my head. Like more than anything, I was flat, but he really drove my head. Like my head hit the mat pretty hard. My forehead. So it's a move I don't usually take, just because no one usually does it. Because if you do it, you're kind of a ripoff in a way.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a very very like trademark.
You know,
move,
and
like,
again, I was wrestling a church basement guy. You know, like whenever I usually when I wrestle in Quebec, the people I wrestle against. I'm the guy getting paid, and they're not. You know? And there's reasons for that. One, I'm a veteran, but also, you know, there's a lot of Joe Schmoes around here, you know. So I'm the guy that's, you know, in some ways teaching them a lesson. I don't mean that in a malicious way, although sometimes it can be. But I would, you know, I really when I wrestle someone, most of the people I wrestle, I make them better after because they've learned something from.
All right, for sure. I mean, like, even. Just from a fan perspective, like especially now, like I've gotten in the past couple of years, I've gotten a little back into watching some pro wrestling and stuff. Where it's like, I'll almost admire the guy taking the bumps more than the guy taking the move, being like, wow, like that guy put the match over, you know, or whatever the case. Where it's like, you start to watch it and understand how it's. Yeah. Like a two-way street of
I hardly even watch the wrestling on TV anymore. I can't stand WWE. It's usually so. So predictable and chained.
A little bit safe.
And way too safe wrestling. I mean, you know, I like wrestling. I like moves. I like pile drivers. I like top rope stuff, you know. Yeah. I like tables. And you won't necessarily see that on WWE ever. So the wrestling I watch is on the indie scene or ROH or something like that. I'll watch guys that I know, you know, guys like El Generico, Kevin Steen, you know.
Yeah.
Have you ever done any ROH work yourself?
I wrestled a dark match for them once.
Okay.
You know, but it really wasn't a good match, and I didn't have a good showing. I kind of upset at that, but you know, I've had some few opportunities where I feel like I didn't get the proper shot. I mean, all wrestlers will say that. Oh, I didn't get the proper shot. But you know, in many ways, you know, that ROH match example, I didn't have too many friends there backstage, and. Wrestling, unlike other sports, it's not necessarily if you're the best. You know, in hockey, you score the most goals. Okay, you're the best. Football, you score the most touchdowns. You're the best. In wrestling, you win the most. You're not necessarily the best. It's just what someone... There was some politicking. Someone liked you, and they thought, you know, they would want to give you that ball, you know. And, you know, sometimes... I've never been much of a ass kisser in any way, in any aspect of my life. So I found it hard sometimes to be the ultra nice guy in, like... To really like try to kiss someone's ass or suck someone's dick to get a job, you know. I know people that do that. I know people. It's necessary in some ways. In some ways, literally necessary. Like a guy like Sylvain Grenier, the last big WWF star from Quebec.
Right.
He met up with Pat Patterson, and I don't know if you know Pat Patterson's sexual leanings, but he basically he saw this guy who wasn't even into wrestling. He wasn't into wrestling, and he's like, "Hey, I bet you'd look good in tights." And you know,
wow.
Whatever happens next behind closed doors, all of a sudden, at the time, Pat Patterson was a road agent for WWE, and he got him a job. You know, You know, there's I didn't witness it, but it's pretty common knowledge that the reason Sylvain got his job is because he let Pat Patterson fool around with him. You know.
Wow.
It's been.
Well,
know,
I can also imagine like where.
Matt said this a lot on this show, but I'm gonna say it again. You heard it here first, kids. And maybe you didn't hear it here first, kids, no, but I certainly mean, heard it here first.
But I could sort of see that. It's like especially with the fall of WCW, and I mean like the relative obscurity of TNA. Like there's such monopoly where you're just sort of there's one big show. Like there's one way to make millions, and it's the WWE. And
you'd
that's
be surprised how it's not even millions, man.
Hundreds of thousands.
There's only a couple of guys that clear six figures. Most of the mid-card guys who they're on regular TV might not even crack $100,000, yeah. which for any other entertainment business, if you're on TV, you're making money. Yeah, in wrestling, because it's Monopoly, you can be on TV once a week and still not crack that.
And it's not the late 90s anymore.
It's, it's like if you think like the NHL where the minimum salary is $500,000.
Oh, it's sick how underpaid wrestlers are. Like in WWE, they're on the road all the time, wrestling all the time. I guess in essence, they're not taking that many bumps, so that's cool, but still, like Vince McMahon has them by the balls, and he doesn't fluctuate on contracts. Like
sure.
He really pays them dirt minimum for corporate. It's just corporate style, you know. But like my opportunity with WWE came maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago. It was during maybe even more than that by now, 8 years ago. It was during what we call the steroid era, where. Everyone was jacked to the hilt.
Why that specific? Like 8 years ago, we're talking now. This was like 2004.
The attitude era ended.
Yeah,
and
guys were just getting bigger and bigger.
What came about was a style of wrestling that was bodybuilders in tights and super safe, boring ass wrestling.
Yeah, and that was when. Remember when Triple H disappeared with like a knee injury and then came back in and was just fucking huge and like had some of the worst matches of his career because he just couldn't even walk because he was just so big.
Yeah, he was so big. And there was a lot of guys like that were just fucking, you know, Batista came in and all these guys, huge, like roid freaks. I was sharing a room with when I was during my tryout in Kentucky. I was with this guy Chris Masters.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
and, Master Lock.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's a
anyways, he was a freak of nature bodybuilder. He was a bodybuilder more than a wrestler, you know?
Yeah, and he wasn't. I
saw him inject one of the most disgusting things in my life. I probably shouldn't have said his name. Whatever. You heard it here first.
He doesn't even work for the company.
I saw him take a pork chop and take an empty syringe and suck up some of the pork fat, like on the outside, the fat. And then stick it into his shoulders and inject himself.
So like the most literal juicing in the world.
What does that do?
Instantly, it looked like an allergic reaction to me. Instantly,
veins pop. And
it got all red and looked like the Hulk. Like, all his traps just swelled up.
What?
And he just got this huge thing. And you know, he got signed.
Yeah.
Very soon after that. I almost puked watching that.
That's really fucked up.
And so I went home and I knew he was going to get a contract and I wasn't. And I was like, you know, maybe it's just trying to cope with it. But it's I don't want to do that. So
yeah,
it's okay,
but you didn't shoot pork chop into yourself.
So I did, you know.
This weekend, Walter and I are going to put each other through chairs and inject each other with pork chop fat.
So that was, you know, that was a
holy shit,
a real eye opener. But they still said that on the next time Raw comes to Montreal, I'll be on the undercard. You know, and so that was in about 2 months' time. But unfortunately, about a month and a bit later, I was wrestling for IWS and I broke my elbow in a match.
Oh man!
I used to do this move where I still do it here and there. Where it's a Sabu thing, where I jump off a chair, top rope, and then to the outside through, and so I broke my, I slipped on top rope. I was careless because I'd done the move so often, I forgot it was actually very, very dangerous, and I slipped, and anyways, I broke my elbow, so I was out of commission for 6 months.
What'd you hit your elbow on?
The floor.
Oh.
The steel floor, the concrete floor. Instead of my head, I put my elbow up. Silly me. But
silly you not breaking your fall with your head.
Yeah. And that was actually in a match with El Generico and Kevin Steen. I was going to jump on to Kevin Steen.
When was this? Was that at Bogey's by any chance?
No, it was at a place called the Unison.
Okay.
In Saint-Laurent.
All right.
Anyways, full house. It was great. But anyway, so I broke my elbow in that match. So when WWE came down, they did two Raws in like or two. They did a Raw and then another house show in like 3 months, and I was injured. So I was off the radar, and that was it. So that was my brief shot with WWE, which whatever.
Yeah, well,
shit happens. Yeah.
How long? And so okay, so now we're back on injuries. Was that one of the worst things that you ever did to yourself?
I would say because I still have some screws in there.
Oh wow!
Two screws,
so it was
in my
a
elbow.
Major break then.
Yeah, I had to have an operation, and I have reduced mobility now. I can't rotate my arm as much, you know. So that is lingering, and obviously my nut is, at least for gruesome stories, it's pretty rough. You know, I've broke my nose a couple times, dislocated shoulders. I have an amplitude of scars all over my body. You know?
But not the face.
Not the face. I have this mask, so not too much.
You ever think of getting it like Kevlar lined, just to be sure? You know, you're just like...
you know.
What's the most you've ever bled? I'm sorry, like I get really like,
Walter really, really, really gets into.
Probably,
I'm sorry. This is like, I have no filter.
Unfortunately. Well, the most exciting bleeding I found was this guy named Necro Butcher broke my nose in a match.
Is Necro Butcher in The Wrestler?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He plays the hardcore guy.
I should know these things.
Is he might be even called like the Butcher?
I think they,
the
well, no, because they play themselves in that movie.
Yeah, so he might be called Necro Butcher or Butcher. But anyway, this guy broke my nose at a match in Delaware, and I was wearing a different mask that didn't have a nose hole in it. So I would just breathe through the material.
Oh my god!
But because it got wet with my blood, I couldn't. It's not porous anymore, right? So I was dying. I had to actually lay down and lift up my mask so I could breathe to finish the match. Not to say with the bleeding nose everywhere. So that was pretty gruesome.
That
bloody.
Sounds really gruesome.
So
lift up the mask and like blood pours out.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I don't want to endorse anyone breaking each other's nose, but like from a fan's perspective, though, broken nose in the mask always looks insane. Yeah. Like, it looks so much worse than a regular broken nose.
It was pretty good on YouTube. YouTube, like, Green Phantom, Necro Butcher, you'll see it. It looks like a real fight, too. It's really a good match, besides my nose being broke. But back to the injuries. So that was the good bleeding, but there was another time, which I hate for the longest time, was my biggest viewed YouTube video. I got cut on my bicep. Just a little. It was maybe a couple of centimeters long cut. Happened to be, I guess, flexing at that time, so my bicep vein was kind of protruding, and it just cut that, just slit that vein, and it was literally pumping out.
Oh Jesus!
It was literally pumping out, and it was really gross. And I needed some duct tape to put on it. No one had duct tape, so eventually I had to go backstage, and it was luckily the match was over anyway, but. There was this huge puddle of blood in the ring, like a puddle of blood in the ring, and I had lost the tag title. That was a match like that, and so it was. I had some light tubes on me, and a ninja jumped off the top rope with a barbed wire chair and like smashed the tubes and the barbed wire, and that's what cut me. Anyways, one of the coolest things I've ever seen in wrestling. He takes the belt that he just won off me and slides it through the blood puddle, and then lifts it up all like yeah, with my blood all over the belt and dripping all over. It was like the most gruesome thing I've ever seen.
Can we link to that? Can you? Is that video still up?
It probably is still up. Keith,
we're going to find that. We're going to link
but
it.
The thing about that video is I hate it.
I'm
because,
sorry.
Because
so we're not going to link to that.
I was going
to
be like, I was like, Walter, he started the story with, I hate that
I'm
going
to find it myself, though.
You can link to there's a couple of Green Phantom highlight videos that some fans put up. Those are really cool.
Why do you hate that one?
Because I had such an amazing match. It was such a great match, and then all they show on YouTube is the last move where
spot,
I get cut, and that's it. And it was like a wicked match. It was the first time I ever did a top rope powerbomb, first time I ever did a single man Spanish fly, which is another top rope double man move. You know, all kinds of really cool shit, and all they saw was that, I mean, it was a good move at the end. It was hardcore as fuck, don't get me wrong. No one would take that, you know, except me being retarded. But, but you know, it, unfortunately, that was the only move of the match that's remembered. Which
so, coming up towards the top of the hour.
Because anyone can bleed, right? That's the point of that.
Well, I think that sort of ties in what you were saying before, where it's just sort of like the hardcoreness of, like, putting it together with moves and still telling a hardcore match and not just, like, smash his head open and whatever. We're probably going to talk after the hour because there's a whole bunch of shit that I want to ask you about also. But before we go to five questions, how did you get hardcore? Like were you, was it always a plan, or were you just sort of like, this looks awesome, this is what I want to do? Like,
I mean, I'll have to thank my mom, I guess, for starters. You know, anytime I ever got hurt as a kid, she's like, take an aspirin and shut up. You know,
I don't know, not to say in your case or whatever, but supposedly getting hurt a lot as a kid increases how much things hurt. If you don't get hurt as a child, your pain receptors don't develop. So it's like, I don't know if you know, like, Johnny Knoxville from Jackass.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, I never got hurt as a child.
Really, eh?
So he's like, I grew up not getting hurt, and so I just don't feel pain as much. Because your pain receptors don't develop.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always played football and stuff.
Maybe you just got accustomed to it.
So your mom brought you up with, like, a bit of tough love?
Yeah, definitely. You know,
don't be a baby. Go back out there and play. Mom,
I've always wanted to play football, and then... you know, it's just an attitude. But also, whenever I watched wrestling, I liked the pile drivers. That's the stuff I wanted to see. And then I stopped watching because it bored the hell out of me. And then I got bit back into it when the attitude started. This is right. With ECW and with, you know, the tables and the blood and the Cactus Jack and that type of thing. So I'm like, I like to see that, so that's what I'm going to do. I've always liked breaking sandcastles as a kid, so busting a table is kind of the same feeling, you know, in a way.
Were you always a big kid?
Not always. I mean, usually within my age group, I was definitely the taller kid. But the reason why I didn't say yes right away is because I still got bullied and beat up quite often, you know.
Really?
In my town, by the French kids in High Italics used to kick the shit out of me, you know.
Jesus.
So maybe that's part of how much, whatever, hardcoreness too. I don't know.
So we do this five question thing, and it's
how many questions would that be?
About 23.
It's actually we call it five questions. But it's more complex because it's three questions that we ask every guest.
Some would say needlessly complex.
It's true. Three questions that we ask every guest. Then it's one question that's asked to you from our previous guest, and then the last question is what question you would like to ask to our future guest. We don't know who it is.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, like, the fourth question, the question that was asked from our previous guest, they had no idea that we'd be interviewing a pro wrestler at this point. So, Walter, do you want to give it a shot?
No.
Nope.
I always fuck up the order, so you go.
All right. The first one, so we were just talking about you as a kid, works out well. What was your favorite childhood toy or plaything as a kid? If it was like a book or a sport thing, I
still have it to this day. When I was about 10 years old, I saw this huge gorilla at a garage sale. Like one of these gorillas that you go to the store will cost you like a few hundred dollars, right? Huge gorilla, maybe as big as you. And I wanted it. And eventually, some haggling and after going back and forth, I eventually got it and brought it home. And that is probably my first wrestling trainer as well, because this thing, I was a kid, it was bigger than me. I beat the shit out of this thing up and down the street, all over the damn place. I still have it to this day in my classroom. I'm a science teacher. I'm a high school science teacher.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I keep that in front of my classroom, underneath the fume hood where like experiments take place. I have my gorilla in class.
You need to become tag champions with the gorilla.
I should.
Al Snow was tag champs with the head.
Yeah, exactly.
You just do it with the gorilla.
They listen to everything I say.
like a physical science teacher?
A grade 7 and 8. So grade pretty much it's like an introductory chemistry.
Like science 436. No.
So 436 is Sec 5.
Sec 4, yeah.
Sec 4, Sec Sorry, 5, depending on how you take it.
Fuck up my math there.
Question number two is, what's your favorite drink, alcoholic or otherwise? If you have a favorite non-alcoholic and alcoholic, you can give both.
It's contradictory to some of my manly characteristics, but my favorite drink is something that gets me drunk, which is a pint glass full of ice. And I mean, it's full of ice, I mean, it makes glaciers jealous. You fill it up about three-quarters of the way with vodka. Then you put maybe a quarter full of soda water. And then you put a splash of cranberry juice and a straw. And the splash of cranberry juice makes it nice and pink. so people can question your manlyhood.
But it's really got a lot of vodka in it.
But it knocks me off my feet. It's great stuff.
Sounds good. That's my new favorite drink.
Let's do it tonight.
Yeah. So table shots. What are we doing this weekend?
Table shots, injecting ourselves with pork fat, and then drinking these pink vodka drinks.
Yeah. I'm actually going to drink a few of them tonight. Because I'm still pretty close with one of my old jobs. I used to work at Brewtopia.
Okay.
I used to be the bartender and doorman there. And tonight they're having a staff party, and they invited me. So I'm gonna go drink a few of those.
Nice.
Well done.
Maybe I'll come join you later. I'm going to be around.
Third question. What is the best time you ever had? Like if you were to sort of like...
Related to Green Phantom?
Or in life. Like, if it's Phantom related, sure. Really, if it's in life, when you went skydiving or some shit, and that was that, up to you.
That was kind of fun, but I wouldn't say it was my best.
Okay, so...
Did you actually go skydiving?
I did go skydiving, cool. Yeah. Man, that's a hard question. That's like,
the next one's even worse. That's our like previous really guest hard. Had a fucking deep question.
I have to have like a bunch of answers. You know,
you give us like one. You could give us a really close answers. To.
Definitely coming out to. I threw this show in related to Green Phantom in Two Mountains, which is where I'm from. I had Jake the Snake on the crowd on the card, and I sold like 2,000 tickets. And so, coming out to like a huge crowd in my hometown, my show, huge ovation. I was super pumped. It was so great that I almost blacked out. It was so great. So that was a great moment.
That's a pretty good answer. That's pretty good. Yeah.
You know, but also on a personal level. The first time I had amazing anal sex, you know, it was a great time with this hot girl, you know. I was like, wow, is this what life's all about, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and probably a St. Patrick's Day or two with my family, you know, we had big parties there. So, yeah, wrestling, anal sex, family. There you go.
All right.
Okay. All right, so this
trifecta.
I don't know if you play. Do you play video games at all? Or
I'm actually in the middle of. Not very much. I used to when I was a kid. These days, I just got into Assassin's Creed 3, though.
Okay.
I'm playing a bit.
From the makers of Assassin's Creed 3, Ubisoft. Far Cry 3 came out this year, last year.
Far Cry, yeah.
Yeah. We had one of the stars of the game on.
The
last
principal
week.
Bad guy from
the
Far Cry 3.
The principal bad guy named Vaas.
The voice guy.
Yeah,
the voice and actor. He did everything.
Oh, they do that whole Matrix 360 camera.
Yeah,
he's. He looks just like the guy.
Yeah, okay,
like it's his face, and he does. They now do voice acting and motion capture.
So he was on.
Anyway, no, I'm just saying it's cool. A cool thing that they're doing as opposed to just sitting in the thing. His question was incredibly loaded, which was, "What is your biggest regret, and what would you have done to change it?"
I forgot he got that deep. Yeah.
Yeah, he got really deep towards the end.
I guess I already covered that. I would have respected how dangerous jumping off the top rope to the outside of the ring is and not broken my elbow.
Wow, yeah. Well,
that's fair.
And then obviously you would have just taken done the spot.
I would have just concentrated more. It's one of those things where you do it so often that you forget that you're jumping, you know, you're really
10 feet through the air or whatever. Just
to the concrete, you know. You kind of assume that, because you've done it so much, you assume nothing's going to happen.
And no elbow pads or anything, eh?
I have an elbow pad, but when you're falling from that
high,
it doesn't matter.
Okay, doesn't really matter. So, last question is, what question would you like to ask to our future...
That last question, we've been having so much fun here.
As yet...
Well, no. Well, this is of the five questions.
Okay.
We can talk for 3 hours after this, too, if you like.
Okay. We're gonna have you back. We're definitely going to have you back. We're probably going to do an episode, I think, with you and Mike P.
That'd be a great episode.
That's,
honestly,
yeah, I think that's
I'm surprised it didn't happen this time. I'm surprised Mike P just didn't show up.
Didn't show up and really like, yeah! Just,
I love that guy.
That'd be all right.
Has he ever managed you?
He has, once at the Medley.
Yeah.
It was a good show, too. There was maybe a good 1,000 people there, and he helped the Green Phantom win a match. He actually put on my mask at some point. It was good.
Yeah.
I have a blast with Mike Patterson. Yeah. He's awesome. Yeah. So what's your question?
What question would you like to ask?
Oh, what question do I have to ask?
To the future. To the future guest who will be unnamed.
I don't like questions like this. I need to go do homework and come back.
You know? No, that's the beauty of it. Because we don't even know who it'll
be. We don't know who the next guest is. We have 2 weeks to figure that out.
Entertainer, non-entertainer, probably
entertainer. Which of the two hosts do you find most attractive?
Oh, shit. Finally going to settle it. Fucking hell.
Arguing it to every episode.
Really depends. The best is we'll get Deanne.
Yeah.
Yeah, so where can we see you? Obviously, Battle War.
Obviously, not, Battle War.
Which is, I can attest, are fucking amazing.
Yeah, just like, look on Facebook, look on Battle War. You'll see the. I think our next show might be March 3rd.
I've never actually gone to see one of these.
They're so good.
I'm gonna come out to the next one.
Do that
March 3rd. You should do it. Dude. Oh, yeah, it's a Sunday night. We just had one on Sunday. It was off the hook, man. It was full, man. It was great. I'm not sure if it's because a lot of people were going to see El Generico off because it was his last match. But I mean, even the show before that was packed, and it was really, really, really packed.
The thing too is, I've seen a couple of, like, as you said, like, independent wrestling, and like you sort of have to put an air quotes on it. Like, of the indie wrestling that I've seen in Montreal, like, that one stuck out as a, like, entire start to finish great card. Like, just like, even the matches, like, this match wasn't on the card, but here it goes. Like, you're like, this is still better than a lot of the stuff you see.
It's good. Like, I wrestle, like I said, I wrestle all the time. Friday, I wrestled for this company, CRW. I like them. They're very nice, well organized, you know. But if you're going to come see me there, out of seven matches, you might enjoy two or three.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely my match, and maybe another one. You know, sometimes they have put together better cards or so. But you know, there's a lot of you know, these guys that, you know, need something more than.
Yeah.
You mentioned Necro Butcher before in that injury sustain. Have you ever wrestled with CZW?
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah. Here or abroad, or in the States, or.
In the States. Okay. As far as I know, they never had a show up here.
I don't know.
They never had a show up here. Just at the old ECW arena.
Oh, the Hammerstein Ballroom there?
Yeah, and when I wrestled Necro Butcher as well. No, not Hammerstein Ballroom.
In Philadelphia.
The Bingo, in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
Hammerstein was for the pay-per-view.
Hammerstein, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and Hammerstein's in New York, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And also, when I wrestled Necro Butcher, it was for a Tournament of Death. And that was with CZW.
Yeah.
They used to be a big player on the scene, but not so much anymore.
I can't imagine that model of such, where it's that hardcore, is it can be sustainable.
Well, it is if you can, you know, use it and build it up. Like, example, on Friday, I keep referring to this match. I wrestled with barbed wire, thumbtacks, tables, chairs, ladders, like too much shit, honestly. I didn't need all that stuff. And I could have done that match 7 nights of the week. You know, it looked crazy. That's where it's my smart hardcore, where I do shit that looks like it's crazy, but it's actually not that bad. And also combined with my somewhat tolerance for pain, and, you know, I don't hate, maybe I'm a stubborn, tough ass. I don't know, but it was really there's ways to do it. I found a problem with CZW is that their style of hardcore wasn't necessarily smart. Like,
It's fucked up.
Some things, you know, in order for me, my judge of a really good wrestling move or a wrestling match is something where you're able to suspend belief or at least take people away into this storyline. And also for the wrestling to look real, like, wow, he slammed him. He looked like he was trying to hurt him. It didn't look like he was dancing with him. It looked like he was trying to hurt him.
Yeah.
And also, after it's all said and done, that it looks way worse than it actually is. You know, you have to sometimes blur the line between reality and fiction. But in order to look real, you gotta be a little bit real. You know, like I enjoy. Selling a punch that I felt it landed a bit, you know. Whereas if I have to open my eyes and make sure the guy hit me because I don't know he actually hit me, I hate that sort of thing because it doesn't even look real right either, you know. And you know, a little bit. I think everyone could use a punch in the face here or there.
We were discussing that last night. How we were just sort of like we watched Raw. And how HD is almost the worst thing that's happened to a product like Raw, because you see it in such better definition, and you see that they're not connecting and stuff. And you're like, you know, you guys benefited a little bit from that grainy element. So it's just sort of like when you're not selling it, because I mean, like in Raw, a lot of the matches don't have the bumps that you want to see. They don't, almost no stiffness and whatever. And now that you're watching this in like 1080p definition, you're like,
You see it.
This is this is not helping your guy's product.
I'm not saying every punch should knock your teeth out because, you know, you have to worry about concussions and all kinds of shit like that. But there should be some blurred between the reality and fiction. You need a bit of a contact and, you know, to know it's there, you know.
You said earlier that you're not a big fan of the current product that WWE is putting out.
It's boring as fuck.
Do you have any of the guys currently? Because they are calling up a lot of ROH guys, right? Like if they had like Punk now, I think came up
again.
ROH.
I hardly watch it, dude, because I find it so boring. I know of CM Punk. I mean, I used to see him on ROH and stuff. I find it cool that he was. Champion. Yeah. I'm surprised that Bryan Danielson was champion because he's such a little guy. I mean,
now Dean Ambrose is also an ROH guy. Like, there's
no idea who that is.
I don't know. It seems that they're like. I don't think like I agree in terms of a wrestling perspective. The matches, like we watched 3 hours of it last night, and one match of the 3 hour card was good. But it seems like they're at least taking a chance on the not. Long blonde haired muscle bound guys, you know, like they're
a little bit, which I enjoy that. I'm all for that, you know.
Do you have a guy other than you mentioned El Generico? You mentioned Kevin Steen. Do you have another guy that if you're just sort of like watching ROH, watching maybe not WWE, but like if you're watching stuff to keep an eye out for other than the Green Phantom, obviously.
Like, I love Triple X Sexy Eddie. We mentioned him before. He's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly, in the big time stuff, I hardly know guys anymore because I lost so much interest.
By the way, Keith, I think you were maybe thinking of Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins is ROH. That's it.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I like.
Screw you, Seth Rollins. Green Phantom doesn't know you.
And it's funny. I'm like kind of contradicting myself because I like the more wrestling, and I still like Hulk Hogan, example.
Yeah.
And I'll still go watch him if he comes to Montreal. I'll watch him.
Well, but that's even the, though I know there's a little bit of nostalgia factor there, yeah. Where it's I'm sure I would similarly go over for like a number of guys if you're like this guy's coming. I'd be like, oh, we'll do it.
And that's one thing I love about my career now. A lot of it is that. I'm on the indie scene and I'm getting to meet a lot of these guys that I grew up like idolizing, you know, like you talk about Piper, you know, like when I as a Piper as a kid, I mean, I hated him but I loved him at the same time.
Yeah.
Because he was always against Hulk Hogan, and meeting him is like meeting an icon, you know, and hanging out with him. Guys like
Walter's a huge Piper fan.
Kevin Nash, I got to hang out with him. After he bought me dinner. We had a great time.
Kevin Nash brought you dinner.
Jake the Snake. I mentioned I brought him to my show. You know.
What year was that around?
That was in 2001 or 2002. One of the
how was he doing around 2001, 2002?
The condition to him coming first is that I had to get him a crack dealer.
Jesus Christ!
And right away, I gave him. I gave him $600, and he, at the same time that I met the dealer, so he took that $600 and he didn't even take a cent of it. He gave it all to the
Holy
guy. I had to meet him.
Fuck.
But anyways, even before that, every minute he was there, he was smoking crack, you know. But having said that, he was awesome in the sense that he was very cognizant. He was respectful. He did exactly what I told him to. He was very good with the kids. He sent me for 3 years after a Christmas card.
What?
And I couldn't believe that he even remembered who I was because he was on crack the whole freaking time.
That is fucked.
And he sent me Christmas cards. Like, wow, that's
what
awesome,
a guy.
You know?
You can say a lot of things about Jake the Snake, but he can hold his crack.
He really can. And he was, you know, and the starstruck moments, you know, he's passed out on my couch and and like snoring and farting. I'm like, I look at him like, oh, that's Jake the Snake Roberts. Like, wow. it was just, you know, that's a great thrill to meet all these guys. You know, I wrestled with Demolition not too long ago. Coco Beware, Tatanka, all these just guys.
Tatanka.
You know? I wrestled in a match with Sabu. I don't know if you know Sabu, but
you really don't have to keep saying that.
He was very influential. Like, I broke my elbow doing one of his moves. You know?
Yeah.
And Sabu is one
and that's an amazing story, too. I didn't get to, but I broke my elbow doing that move, so I cut it out of my arsenal. I didn't do it forever, and I got back into wrestling and whatever. And then I end up, it was me against Sabu at the medley, right? And this is years after. I haven't done that move in forever. And he places me down, and he's going to do his move, where he's going to run, jump off the top rope, and moonsault back in
right.
on me. With the chair, though. So he lies me down, runs on the ropes, jumps off the chair, jumps to the top rope, about to jump off me, fucks up, falls to the outside, right? And then he's selling it. He's selling it on the outside. So I kind of
selling his own fuck up.
He's selling his own fuck up. So then I look. Well, I'm standing in the ring. The chair's there. The top rope's there. Sabu's on the outside. I haven't done this move since I broke my elbow, and this is his move. It's like if Hulk Hogan moves out of a leg drop and I drop
and then
a leg
off. You go
off.
For the leg drop.
So, but you know, it felt right. I like, okay, I'm going for it, and I did it. And it was fine. I've done it so many times before, but I couldn't believe that the opportunity I had. Just laid out before me to do it against the guy who does it. Like, that's his
right.
shit, you know? And I executed it perfectly, and it was great. The crowd went wild. It was awesome.
Oh, know? And anybody who knows, too. It's like, there's I think there's, like, a long-standing tradition of, like, when you move steel, the move is better. You know what I mean? Like, when you do it against the guy who does it, if you're just sort of like, oh, shit.
But
like,
it's very rare that would happen. Like,
yeah.
I had to...
Was he pissed off?
I thought he might be, you know? And there was a... This guy, PCO, Pierre Carwellet, he was backstage, and the first thing he said to me was, is he okay with that? Because he thought he was pissed, you know? It ended up in the match, too. PCO threw me off the second floor, by the way, through some tables. But I talked with him after. We smoked a shitload of weed and stuff together, and we had a great time. Me and him, we were on the same level, man. Me and Sabu, although he does way too much drugs for me. You
still
know,
to this day?
Well, I haven't seen him in a while.
I was reading that he's not in great shape, but that they had a bad TNA event that he had to scrap his headlining event.
It could be. I mean, when someone abuses substances like he does, you never know. You know, he can be fine most of the time, and then he'll have a real bad trip, if you will.
A bad night can fuck up. Like,
but you know, these friends of mine were wrestling in Chicago recently, and they told me that he was wearing. They saw Sabu, and they told me he was wearing a Green Phantom T-shirt.
Oh, nice. That's amazing!
I was pretty happy right. about that.
We have to wrap.
We
up.
Have to wrap up Monday.
But, there are so many more stories, and we're gonna
please
have
come
you
back.
On again.
Did you, is this okay? Did this go all right for
fine.
You?
Yeah, it was fine. I love talking wrestling.
This is great. This has been amazing, and I love talking wrestling too, as many of our guests previous guests can attest.
Whether or not
they
liked it or not,
yeah.
So we have Battle War, which is
Battle
March 31st.
Check that out on Facebook. I think it's March 3rd. I think it's the
March
next 3rd? One in Montreal. Definitely just check out Green Phantom on Facebook and like him, and all then right. you'll always get
are
the
you on
updates.
Twitter?
Of,
do you have a Twitter feed? Or?
I do, but I never use it.
Okay,
right,
so
I'm
ignore that. Go on
screw
Facebook.
Twitter.
But Facebook Green Phantom, and you'll get all kinds of stuff there.
And we'll find out where to see you in action.
I'm literally going now.
I always update it. Of right, where cool. I'm going to be, unless it's a really crappy federation where I'm just doing it for the money and not for the pleasure, then I...
It won't be on your Facebook page.
Then it might not
so
be
if Green Phantom is posting on his Facebook page about a match, it means it's a product that he can fucking get behind. And
well, at least a little bit. At least a little bit.
Okay. At least a little bit.
I'll even say that, you know.
This isn't going to be great, but I'm wrestling here. Or
yeah.
this is going to be awesome, and I'm wrestling
yeah,
here.
If I'm wrestling Battle War, I'll always comment on it.
I
saying
think that's the main page?
That's the main page.
Yeah.
Well done,
the
Walter.
Green Phantom.
Have you liked it yet? Or what?
I'm doing it now.
Like it.
So, I'll always say, like, if it's a Battle War show, I'll say this is the best show in Quebec, you know. Other shows, I might say, you know, I'm last match. So if I say that I'm last match, it might mean because you should maybe only see the last match.
Or right, or like, don't worry if you show up late, you know,
yeah.
or whatever the case may be. Okay, so that's that. Thanks
this
so much.
This was amazing.
So much for coming out. Like, seriously, we're at an hour 12 right now.
I don't care.
And
people
could,
are bored.
We
by
could.
Right
now.
I'm
no,
not.
No, 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 no.
And that's really that's all that's important.
We do in plenty long episodes. But yeah, we'd love to fucking have you back. That was great. Like, there's so much I want to ask, so many stories that
yeah.
I'm sure you have. but sadly.
The next time me and Keith are going to Blade, so.
Yeah, yeah. We'll Blade. Yeah. And next time you have to ask me about the Iron Sheik. I got a crazy story.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
teaser for the next episode. Next Thank you so much, Green Phantom.
Okay. So, I'm Keith.
I'm Walter.
And we've been here with a very special guest, the Green Phantom. And
thanks for having me.
This is Go Plug Yourself. We'll have you again.
The best.
The best ever.
Those sweet, sweet piano tunes you're listening to right now come courtesy of Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude. Oh man, that was some great podcasting, wasn't it? Anyhow, be sure as always to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, add us on iTunes, buy our stuff, and basically try as hard as you can to make us happy in every single way possible. Of course, be sure to check back every day on 9to5.cc for comics on Wednesdays, podcasts on Thursdays, Scott or Sophie's art on Fridays, and seriously, we'll try as hard as we can to get Zombies and Loathing, Fuck Mondays, and Templars back as soon as we can. Thanks for listening, everyone.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you?